You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to First Bite, the Pride of Detroit preview podcast, where we are back previewing the 2020 season because the Detroit Lions are somehow just one game out of a playoff spot. And we put it to you guys and we asked you, do you want us to keep talking about coaches or do you want us to keep talking about the playoffs and previewing? And you guys basically were split. So guess what? This is the first of two First Bites you're getting this week. So this one, we are going to preview those Green Bay Packers and the Lions week 14 matchup tomorrow, Thursday night. If you want to watch live, we will be talking about a coaching candidate. I'm going to keep it a secret for now. So you'll just have to tune in then. But again, we are previewing the Packers tonight. With me as always, Ryan Matthews at Ryan_POD. How you doing tonight, Ryan?
I'm doing all right. So to get this straight, we polled the people.
Yes.
And then we said, we're just going to do two anyways.
It was too even. I mean, there was more slanting towards coaching, but there was like a good 30-40% that was like, I still want to talk about these games. And so, I mean, I'm not one to say no. I'm the kind of people pleaser that wants to please everybody.
I've never been so happy to be overworked.
Well, you're going on a mini vacation here, so we're going to let you off tomorrow. You don't have to be with us. You can hang in the optimistic side.
I'll be here in spirit, but we also have somebody here who's in the flesh, I should say.
Yeah, we should probably get to him, considering he's standing here so nicely for us. Over from Acme Packing Company, basically the Jeremy version of Acme Packing Company, Tex Western is here at Tex Western on Twitter. Tex, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, no, and I'm happy to do it. And I get it, man. You got to give the people what they want. And even if that's, slightly less than a plurality of those people, you gotta take care of them too, right?
Exactly. And I mean, even myself, I feel like we're in a bit of like a Lions purgatory right now. Like, I can be realistic and realize, yeah, there's almost no chance that the Lions are going to make the playoffs. They basically have to run the table against four teams that are currently in a playoff position. But at the same time, it's fun to talk about the games. Like, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about coaches and GMs and all that stuff. So why not take our shot at the Packers?
Absolutely. I mean, I had to be in that unenviable position for the first time 2 years ago after McCarthy got canned. And so I feel your pain a little bit, as much as I can. Yeah.
Yeah. Relatively speaking. Once, so.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, let's get into it. Let's talk about the Packers. They're 9-3. I think the main, and we probably talked about this the first time we talked to you, the main storyline going into the season was these Packers are going to regress. Y'all got to watch out. You know, they had this 7-1 record in close games and all these turnovers. All that's going to regress to the mean. And here now we're talking about maybe a one seed for the Green Bay Packers, given how everything has turned out. So why was everyone wrong about this team?
So everybody was right that they didn't really add personnel, right? Like, there's no significant rookie players really making major contributions this year. It boils down to suddenly Aaron Rodgers clicked in Matt LaFleur's offense. Matt LaFleur is looking like one of, if not the best play caller in the NFL. And it's literally as simple as that. This team is blowing out teams, or at least winning by multiple possessions when they were letting games be close last season. You mentioned the record in close games last year. The Packers are 2-2 in close games this year. That's, you know, that's a sign that this team, you know, even if they finish with, you know, maybe a game worse record at 12-4, let's say, you know, this is a better team than it was last year. And it really boils down to the offense clicking. Aaron Rodgers is back to his frighteningly good status that he was several years ago. And Davante Adams is pretty damn good too. So really this offense just kind of figured it out this offseason, with the weird the COVID affected offseason where they're, you know, all these meetings were virtual and everything. They figured it out and they're playing like a unit, and it's been fun to watch.
You mentioned two of their biggest weapons, right? You talk about Davante Adams, potentially maybe even the best receiver in all of the league. And then you have Aaron Rodgers too. And for the longest time, I think everybody has come to understand as Lions fans that Aaron Rodgers will just not go away. So with all of that being said, is it just those two that are really the secret sauce to, you know, this Packers team being second in yards per game, first in points per game? I think they're maybe in the top 10 or just outside the top 10 in rushing yards per game. I mean, what is the deal with why the offense is just that much more effective this season?
Yeah, I mean, part of it has been that the offensive line has been really good this year. Billy Turner moving out to right tackle has actually worked out particularly well. And that was something that I think we were all very concerned about coming into the season, was he was okay last year at right guard, but definitely probably the weakest link on the offensive line. But out at right tackle, he's actually been very good this year. And certainly everything kind of starts up front, right? David Bakhtiari is still the best pass blocker in the NFL. But even when the Packers have had an injury like Corey Linsley going down for these last couple games, they've been able to slide guys in and not really miss a beat. And so it all kind of starts up there, and that offensive line has really laid the foundation for the passing game. Rodgers has been sacked maybe a career low. I think he's only been sacked 13 times this year in 12 games, which is incredible. And I think he's only taken fewer than 20 hits this entire season. And, you know, the line is doing a good job in the run game too, making holes for Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, who've been a pretty nice 1-2 punch. And then you start getting play action working off of that. And LaFleur has really developed that portion of his play calling. And those, you know, he's scheming guys like Robert Tonyan open. He's scheming Marquez Valdes-Scantling open on deep shots. And when you have the explosive plays coming off of play action to go along with, you know, solid success in the run game, and, you know, Rodgers and Adams having tremendous chemistry, you know, that's a recipe for a solid offense.
Is there anything new schematically to the offense, or is it just a matter of it really just clicking with them?
I do really think it's very heavily just a comfort level for Rodgers. Mm-hmm. There has always sort of been a second year jump in the Shanahan tree. So with Kyle Shanahan's offense in Atlanta, the second year down there when they really took off was that, you know, that Matt Ryan year when he had the MVP season and went to the Super Bowl. You kind of saw it a little bit in San Francisco. You saw the same sort of thing with McVay in LA. And I'm not sure what it is about that scheme that sort of takes a year to, I don't know if it takes that time to sink in or to get guys to buy in or what it is, but it really seems like this offseason that was the thing. And again, I'm going to harp on the offensive line a ton, and you know, Rodgers is doing a good job too, getting the ball out in rhythm, and that certainly helps because he's been a sack prone guy throughout his career, and maybe it's not playing hero ball as much, but you know, that's a big part of it. But a lot of these plays are the same types of plays they were running before last season. It just seems like everybody knows what they're supposed to do and why they're supposed to do it, and I think that's, you know, that's a big part of it as well.
Let's talk a little bit about the other side of the ball. We get it. The Packers offense is really good. defensively speaking, how confident are you in what the Packers bring to the table on defense? It seems like their run defense isn't very good.
Still kind of bad.
Is that something that's, I mean, at this point, is it something that's almost like by design?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it absolutely
but
the, is.
But then like you got a big time pass rusher too in Za'Darius Smith. Like, I mean, it seems like the Packers have prioritized stopping one part of an offense rather than another.
Absolutely. And that's Mike Pettine's philosophy. He refuses to give up big chunk plays in the passing game. And he really, this year especially, he's decided to play a ton of zone defense and make quarterbacks dink and dunk their way down the field and take the chance that, you know, at some point in, you know, instead of ripping off multiple 12, 13, 14 play drives to score, to gradually work their way down the field, that some point those offenses are going to bog down and make a mistake, miss on a throw, and you know the drive is going to stall out. Now, against Philly last week, you saw against Carson Wentz, who's a shell of himself now, you saw the team actually use a lot more man coverage and really let the pass rushers get after the quarterback, even with Philly having at least a halfway decent running game. I'd like to see more of that. Even though, man coverage tends to be a little more conducive to giving up big plays in the run game, which they're already getting gashed when they're playing a lot of zone anyway. But it seems like the Packers have the right personnel to run some man-heavy stuff on the back end in the secondary. Darnell Savage is coming on. Jair Alexander's, a tremendous player. And so I would like to see a little more of that to prevent these long sustained drives, which they've been giving up in recent weeks, especially to veteran quarterbacks. Phillip Rivers kind of ate him up a couple weeks ago in Indy. And, Matt Stafford is certainly more than good enough and more than experienced enough to be able to take advantage of holes in zone coverage. And so this week I'd like to see them continue to play a little bit more man and, force him to try to fit balls in tighter windows rather than, waiting out to find the holes in the zone.
Is that in general the blueprint to beating the Packers, though, just like establishing that run, attacking that soft run defense? Because you look at the three teams they lost to, the Bucs had 158 rushing yards, Vikings had 173, Dalvin Cook ran wild in that game. The Colts game you mentioned, they had 140 in there. Obviously, yardage is kind of a flawed stat, at least a little bit, because if you're winning, you're obviously going to run the ball more. But it seems like in general, they were all able to establish a run in that game, and maybe just keeping that Packers offense off the field is how you have a chance against them.
Yeah, one of the stats that we came up with or that we found this week was that the Packers are among the best NFL teams in not giving up conversions on third and longs, but they're among the worst in giving up conversions on third and short. And I think that that kind of plays to the run defense. If you're able to pick up 3, 4, 5 yards on first down, get yourself into a second and medium and, maybe pick up another couple yards there and put yourself into a third and short. That's how to beat this defense, is with, kind of a slow, steady, steady offense that is going to not get in bad down and distance situations. The other key is to come up with some turnovers, because in two of those three games, there were some very weird, uncharacteristic turnovers that took place. I mean, the Bucs game, Rodgers threw back-to-back picks, including a pick six. The Indy game, there were four weird turnovers in that one. There was a special teams turnover. There was a fumbled exchange on the snap. And then there was a fumble in overtime that led directly to the winning score. So when the Packers have a little bit of adversity, we've kind of joked that when they get down two scores, it's almost over, because they haven't dealt with that a whole lot this year, and they haven't necessarily shown the ability to bounce back from those types of deficits under Matt LaFleur, except against one team, and that's the Lions. So
that's right. We went 10-0 early in that game.
Yeah, and I think both games in 2019, I want to say Detroit had two score leads too.
We don't need to bring up last year's game. Let's not bring up last year's game. That one was particularly painful.
Yeah,
but I will have to say,
force a couple of mistakes and then maybe make a big play on special teams too, because the Packers' special teams, especially the punting game, are terrible. So that's another way to get an advantage.
The one thing I will say really quick is if the Lions are relying on Aaron Rodgers to throw a pick six, probably not going to happen, because he did throw one this year, but I think that was his third career, third or fourth?
Third career and second at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, which is just a weird house of horrors. I don't understand it.
I think Stafford has thrown three this year. I remember them saying something about that on a broadcast, and I was just like, oh my God, that's embarrassing, since Rodgers has literally thrown three his entire career. But anyways, that's beside the point. Let's not stroke his ego anymore. Ryan, you got a question?
Yeah, you want to jump right into the injury report or what?
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, can we ask about Preston Smith really quick? Because Za'Darius has 10 and a half sacks, which seems about on par for him. What's going on with Preston? He's only got three. Is it just sack numbers are kind of not telling the whole story, or is he just not as effective?
No, he has been much maligned in Green Bay this year. They're actually, you know, there's a lot of talk about him potentially being a cap casualty this offseason because he's really not playing up to the level of his contract. I think they owe him a cap hit of $16 million next year. And with the cap shrinking with COVID, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow when he is playing like the third best pass rusher with Rashawn Gary really starting to come on, especially in the last month and a half or so. He's been playing very well, but you know, there's certain things that Preston has done very well, and it's don't run read option or don't run like misdirection plays at him, because those he reads well and he blows them up. But for some reason, just his pass rush rate has not been there this year. And it's tough to really explain why, but yeah, it's not just a lack of sacks. It's a lack of pass rushing productivity overall. And there have been a lot of calls for Gary to start really getting the, you know, the second most snaps behind Z ahead of Preston over the last couple of weeks.
Did you get your question answered, Jeremy?
I did. Thank you. Thank you for asking me that question.
Good. You're welcome. Well, let's talk about injuries. On the Lions side of the ball, real quick, just to get these out of the way, Galladay and Okuda, they both missed Wednesday practice. Jeremy, I'm feeling a little bit optimistic about Galladay with the fact that he traveled with the team last week and he was, you know, warming up in warmups, I should say. But, The one that I'm most concerned with is, are the Lions going to have DeAndre Swift back?
Yeah, and I think the answer is probably yes. Limited in Wednesday's practice, an illness that apparently isn't COVID related, apparently isn't concussion related. I mean, that's really all that we know. Coaching staff has kind of given us the runaround in terms of what that looks like, but he has to be what I imagine would be a key to this game. We just got done talking about how establishing the run is one way you can beat this Packers team, or at least keep Aaron Rodgers at bay a little bit. So that's something to keep an eye on. Another thing to keep an eye on is that right tackle position. Tyler Crosby did not practice after getting injured in the game against the Bears, which means we might see Matt Nelson, former Iowa defensive tackle, over there at right tackle. Don't want to see him lined up against Za'Darius Smith too often, although did just play okay against the Bears, didn't give up a sack against Khalil Mack. Definitely had some help with some tight ends and running backs, but you might see that again this week. Speaking of offensive lines, though, I want to talk about the Packers offensive line. You mentioned it really briefly at the top, but it's really kind of the only injuries I feel like this team has really suffered, at least significant ones, and you can correct me if I'm wrong there, but Corey Linsley and Lane Taylor both on IR. How have the Packers managed to keep their head above water there?
Yeah, Taylor's injury came early on, and Lucas Patrick, who was re-signed, I think, a year or two ago to be kind of that reserve interior lineman, has stepped into the starting lineup. He's been doing a great job, playing at a very high level and certainly doing excellent filling in for him. So there's no issues there. Patrick has had a little bit of a toe thing the last couple of weeks, but he should be good to go. Linsley is probably the bigger loss, because what that has forced the Packers to do is shift over Elton Jenkins, the second year guard, back to center, which was actually his position in college. So he's certainly familiar and comfortable at that spot. Now, the last 2 weeks before the Eagles game, Linsley went out of both games with different injuries. The second one, you know, is what forced him onto IR. But in both games, the Packers actually moved Jenkins over from left guard to center and put John Runyon, the sixth round rookie, in at left guard. And he played very well in both of those games. But with knowing that Linsley was out last week, they actually shuffled things a little bit and moved Billy Turner from right tackle to right guard, moved Patrick to left guard, and then put old Lions friend Rick Wagner at right tackle instead. And that line, again, did a really good job against Philly, kept Rodgers pretty much upright the whole game. He technically took two sacks, but one of them was – he kind of fell down at the line of scrimmage. So he really only took one big hit early. And that, I think, is probably what we're going to see, barring any other injuries up front this week, is probably Wagner playing right tackle. And, you know, for a spot starter, he's done a really good job this year. And like you guys mentioned, with your right tackle situation. He's probably going to get some help. They'll probably put Mercedes Lewis on his side of the line a lot and try to chip with the running backs a bit, especially I can't remember who's on that side of the line for the Lions, if that's Flowers or
not this week.
I can't remember. What's his status now?
He's currently on IR. There's a chance
that's right.
The coaching staff said at this point, you know, they think he'll probably come back at some point this year, but I doubt it's this week, unfortunately.
That explains why
on that side, it's probably going to be, gosh, a mixture of Christian Jones and I don't even know. I don't even know who's healthy on this defense anymore.
That explains why I didn't see him on the injury report. So, okay, yeah. that makes more sense. So, but yeah, I'd still expect to see some help on his side, but, yeah. But yeah, even so he's played really well. And, again, that the Packers seem to have offensive line depth this year where they didn't, and they've got a lot of versatility. They got guys like Turner who can play multiple different positions. Jenkins, same thing. And so I think that's been the key to them being able to overcome some of these injuries is that versatility up front.
All right, that's it for the injury report. When we come back, we're going to get more into matchups, talk about some of the players, the key players on each side of the ball, each side of the team, and give some predictions on who wins or who gets a bunch of yards or whatever we want to predict when we come back on First Bite, our Lions-Packers preview podcast.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
And we are back on First Bite, our Lions-Packers preview podcast. We're here with Tex Western from Acme Packing Company, the managing editor over there. Again, you can follow him at Tex Western on Twitter. Let's get into some matchups, fellas. Let's talk about what's going to happen there on Sunday. Ryan, do you want to start with the Lions' offense on the field or their defense on the field? Which do you want to start with, the depressing one or the not-so-depressing one?
Let's start with the depressing one so we end on a good note.
Okay. Let's talk about the Lions' defensive backs, which might be the most depressing of all. Last time these two teams met, they were kind of okay. They were able to kind of keep Aaron Rodgers in check, but part of that was just because the run game was so bad. They in that game, they had no Desmond Trufant, so it was Oruwariye, Okuda, and Roberts. Aaron Rodgers went for 240 yards and two touchdowns. This week, looks like Okuda's probably out, so we're going with Oruwariye, Justin Coleman, and Daryl Roberts. Let's go to you first, Ryan. Is there any shot this week?
I mean, the Lions have a snowball's chance in hell of containing Aaron Rodgers. Like, I think we know how the Lions could potentially win this game, and it's not going to be their defensive backs doing anything. If I'm recalling this correctly, though, wasn't this Okuda's baptism by fire? Wasn't his first start against Devontae Adams?
Yes.
He's probably like, yeah, you know what? The hamstring is just really not doing well this week. I don't feel like chasing that guy around on the field. But yeah, the Lions defensive backs have just been a struggle all season long. How much, Jeremy, real quick, do you think it is in terms of the lack of cohesiveness due to injury that has really plagued the secondary?
it definitely plays a factor, right? Like, I think we all talk about chemistry with the offensive line, sometimes with the defensive line. It's there with the secondary. Like, that's super important, too.
There's, a lot of communication happens.
Absolutely. And so they'll be bringing back the same trio that they brought back last week that didn't play very well in the first half against the Bears, but they did shut down Allen Robinson for one catch in the second half of that game. And whether that's on the Bears for not, you know, keeping the pedal to the metal, or maybe the Lions changing what they did, but the Lions defense did come out a little bit better. So if you're a Lions fan trying to cling to some optimism, I think maybe the way the defense played in the second half against the Bears might bring you some of that. But of course, Trubisky Robinson isn't quite the same as Aaron Rodgers and freaking Devontae Adams.
Okay.
Owari has been playing well. I think maybe you have to stick him on him, though, given that the other two guys that are healthy are two basically nickel corners and Daryl Roberts and Justin Coleman. But let's, theoretically speaking, let's say Owari is playing his balls off. Who else do the Lions have to worry about, Tex?
Yeah, I mean, Adams you have to worry about no matter where he's at. Sure. They'll line him up in the slot a lot. They've been playing him more in the slot than probably ever before this season. And so trying to get him some better releases and better opportunities from the inside. So certainly have to worry about that. But Alan Lazard is back. He was injured for a good portion of the middle of the season, but he's still the big physical guy who's going to move the chains on third downs. And, you know, he's always just a real, you know, real reliable player. Bob Tonyan has been a really, really solid tight end and has been tremendously productive this year. He's number one in DVOA among all tight ends. He certainly doesn't have the level of targets that like a Travis Kelce does, but he's certainly been tremendously efficient, and he's been a really good safety valve. And he's actually been a little bit of a deep threat here too lately. Packers have gotten him loose on some deeper routes for some couple of touchdowns in the last couple of games. And then we'll see what version of Marquez Valdes-Scantling the Packers get this week, because that guy is the, you know, you look up inconsistent in the dictionary and boom, there's MVS. He blocks his ass off. We'll give him credit for that. And the Packers really prioritize run blocking by their receivers, but he's just as likely to go off for, you know, 250-yard bombs as he is to drop two inexplicable passes. So you have no idea what version of him you're going to get from game to game. I would also say the other guy you got to really watch out for is Aaron Jones in the passing game, because you know, looking at the numbers, the Lions are last, I think, against running backs in terms of passing DVOA against. So and the Packers have two very good receiving backs in Jones and Jamal Williams. So I would expect that it's probably a heavy dose of Adams, and then look for the running backs to get involved pretty early and often in the passing game too.
No, Jeremy, question. Can we sweep the rest of the no good, ugly, bad talk out of the way so that we can get to some good stuff?
I mean, we have to at least mention the fact that Aaron Jones tore this defense apart in week two, and that defense had Danny Shelton. This one does not in week 14. And while I thought the run defense really had a nice turnaround outside of the bye week, they did not perform so well against the Bears last week. And so that matchup is also a very, very, very big concern. We can just leave it at that if you want and move over to the Lions offense.
I was going to say, like, we can just put the boogeyman underneath the bed and keep him there, which is just the Lions defense. Like we tried to segment it, Tex. We were like, yeah, the DBs have been really shaky. They haven't been so good. And the run defense, oh, yeah, that's terrible. All right. Yeah, the whole thing is just a huge tire fire. It's just so, so bad. I threw out there on the last podcast that like the Lions just need to take the Panthers approach to the draft next year, and just literally all their draft picks got to be defense, every single one of them. But let's talk happy things in Detroit. Let's talk about the bevel bump. All right. Last week, the Lions had this huge change in the way that they attack down the field. They really let, you know, Matthew Stafford play off of play action. They gave him time to sit back in the pocket, which was pretty impressive against a Bears defense that, you know, is known for getting after the passer. So, you know, Tex, the Lions saw some optimism in the way that Matthew Stafford got unlocked a little bit. Is that at all concerning for the Packers this week?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it kind of goes back to what I mentioned about that indie game a little earlier, especially if they sit back in a zone, in zone coverage. I would expect Stafford to have the opportunity to pick them apart a little bit. So yeah, I'm expecting to see some points on the board, on both sides. I would, you know, I think I saw the over was like 55 or something like that. I'm still taking the over in this game. Because I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout. Question is, you know, can the Packers get the occasional stop or get the occasional turnover that they really need, to kind of slow things down for Detroit? Because yeah, if the Packers keep sitting back and letting trying to force Stafford to you know, to not go deep and to dink and dunk, I think that he's probably going to have some pretty good success doing that, and that's going to be a issue for Green Bay. Just don't throw a Jair Alexander side of the field. If you want to have some success, you can pick on Kevin King. You can really pick on the linebackers in the passing game, especially when they're in zone coverage. There's one play, gosh, actually I think it was twice against Indy, where they had Michael Pittman on a crossing route over the middle, covered by Christian Kirksey in zone coverage, which ended exactly how you would imagine it would end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens with what type of coverage the Packers decide to use this week. But yeah, there's definitely opportunities to be had there.
And that kind of leads me nicely into my next question, because TJ Hockenson's, you know, having a career year right now, poised to maybe set some franchise records for tight ends, coming off back-to-back 80-yard games. How have the Packers been against tight ends so far this year?
You know, I'll have to look up the numbers, but it feels like they haven't really played very many tight ends this year. I feel like they're around middle of the pack, and I think it's a function of the linebackers are not very good in coverage, but the safeties have been pretty solid. Adrian Amos has had a very good year in his second year in Green Bay, and Darnell Savage has really started to come on this last month. And so those two guys, I think, have done very well, along with Chandon Sullivan, the slot corner. One of the things actually too that's notable is that Raven Green, who's kind of the Packers hybrid safety linebacker, just went on injured reserve today. He got injured on Sunday, and he'll be out for a couple games. So that's also an opportunity for Detroit to try to exploit, is whether they go with more of a conventional linebacker like Kamal Martin, the rookie, or if they try to put like another hybrid safety guy like Will Redmond on the field in that second inside linebacker spot. That's an area that I would definitely look to attack for Detroit.
All right, I think we're ready to move into our prediction area, unless you got anything else, Ryan.
Not really. I think what Tex really set up, though, is my predictions.
Okay, so
get right to them.
Yeah, and so if you're new to the podcast, or if you didn't listen to, you know, the first bites when we were still doing preview podcasts, what we like to close out with is the one thing we think we know, which is each one of our guests giving out a prediction for the game. Doesn't have to be a score prediction, doesn't have to be a winner prediction, can be a prediction about anything that happens in the game. But if you want to give a prediction on the game as well, we're welcome to that. So yeah, Ryan, why don't you go kick us off with the one thing you think you know about Lions Packers?
So Tex really set me up for this with, you know, talking about the linebacker play being a bit shaky, and looking at the Packers schedule, it seems like the teams that they struggled with had running backs that could do it all, right? I mean, you talk about Ronald Jones, you talk about Dalvin Cook, you talk about even what they had in Indy with, you know, their three-headed trio, whatever they do there. But I think that if DeAndre Swift plays in this game, I think that you're looking at least 150 yards from scrimmage. I think that Bevel is really going to rely on him heavily. I think the other thing to keep in mind is that while the Packers secondary outside of Jair Alexander, as Tex mentioned, a little bit susceptible, I don't have a ton of faith in the Lions wide receivers to create a ton of separation. So I think that they attack the part of the defense that they can. They run the ball when they can. And I think that guy is Swift if he's healthy, and they attack the middle of that field. So I think it's really a day that sets up very, very well for DeAndre Swift.
I like it. I like it. That'd be quite the return for him after missing the past, what, 3-4 weeks?
Yeah.
be welcome addition and fun to watch, which is, I think, all that really Lions fans are looking for these days, because last week was a lot of fun. Everything before that, not so much fun. All right, Tex, what's the one thing you think you know about Lions Packers?
I think I know that Davante Adams is going to go off again. He was held to his season low numbers against Detroit in that first game, 3 targets, 3 catches, 36 yards. Part of that was because he got injured in the third quarter and missed a good portion of the second half of that game. But there was the Packers were spreading the ball around a little more at that point. But now I think with some of the matchups that he has against the Lions secondary, with just the sheer volume of targets that Aaron Rodgers has been sending his way in recent games. I think you're probably looking, I mean, I think he scores a touchdown in his, it's that eighth straight game now, I think. I think he'll find the end zone, and, you know, I'm looking at, you know, double digit targets, maybe double digit receptions, 120 plus yards, as probably what we're looking at from Adams in this game. And as a bonus, I think Adrian Peterson is going to do something dumb that's going to piss off Packers fans, because he always does.
I kind of like that. The one thing I think I know, and I'm afraid I'm going to go on the depressing side of this, because Ryan probably took the only one positive that has a chance of happening in this game. One thing I think I know is that the Packers won't punt until the fourth quarter.
No.
I'm sorry. Like, I don't see how the Lions can stop. I don't think they're going to stop the run. I don't think they're going to stop the pass. I know for some reason they tend to play Aaron Rodgers pretty well, and they did at the beginning of last, you know, of the week two game, but then it all fell apart, and just, they're in a worse shape defensively than they were in week two. And I mean, this would be
a dream scenario for the Packers, because they have given up 2 punt return touchdowns this year. The entire NFL has 4. So the Packers have given up half of the punt return touchdowns in the league this year, and they've all come in the last 4 weeks. So not a good area for Green Bay this year.
Jeremy, so if you're going to give out that prediction, how many times are we going to see Jack Fox on Sunday?
not too many.
Mine's 3-4?
Yeah, I'd say like 3. 3 is a good number there. I mean, by the time the fourth quarter, they're going to be going for it on every fourth down.
Well, exactly. But, I mean, hey, at least as long as he has a chance to pump up those numbers.
Absolutely. All right. Before we close things out, Tex, let's give you an opportunity to promote your stuff. Where can people find you? Where is maybe some Lions content that they'd be interested in finding from the Packers' point of view? All that sort of fun stuff.
Yeah, you can reach us at acmepackingcompany.com. That's where we've got obviously all the content. We've got a couple of podcasts running right now. One is the APC pod. The other is As Eligible. It's reporting As Eligible. It's at As Eligible on Twitter. It's kind of our spinoff podcast with a couple of our writers that have been doing some great stuff lately too. You can catch us on Twitter. It's at acmepackingco. And then I'm on Twitter at Tex Western.
Perfect. And for all of you listening, be sure to stay tuned on this podcast feed. And if you're watching live, we are going to have another podcast this week, another technically First Bite podcast, where we're going to be breaking down another Lions head coaching candidate with an expert, a very special guest. So be sure to listen to that. Be sure to hang around for our Man Sim on Saturday mornings. We'll be right here on our Twitch page and YouTube pages after the game, and then doing our podcast live at 7. Well, actually, it's going to be later this week, because Lions Packers is got bumped to the late game at 4:30 Eastern. So probably around 9, maybe even 10 o'clock that night is when we'll do our live podcast. But until then, it's chaos. Be kind.